Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. We will be reviewing a part of the interview of Richard Dawkins with Piers Morgan, because he's talking very, very loosely about humanity basically being genocided by robots and replaced by robots, and that our future is in our artificial creations. And he said, "Oh yeah, it's frightening, but it's exciting." It is. He's way too enthusiastic about this, and I think he doesn't properly explain to the people that there are consequences to giving up your reproduction, power over your life, power over your genes to the machines and to AIs. And I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm done writing my letter to humanity, which I will publish on the Bitcoin blockchain through an inscription. And it's been reviewed by Fadam. He's been giving very good feedback. That led me to add certain paragraphs because he wanted it to be more passionate. Because you know how I write, I'm like, yeah, this is bad. Okay, this is bad. This is bad. But he wanted it to be more militant. And so I did exactly this, and I tried to make a message that would touch the hearts of humans on their future and on the fact that we need to choose not to choose. It's the overarching control that we will leave to AI onto our lives, and this overarching control will be because we want to control everything. And this is the one thing we need to choose not to choose. It's our genes. And it's our relationship with AI. We need to let it go. We need to let nature do its thing. Let sex do its thing. Ali Mayer says, a real smoke show with the blonde in the belly. Quite pleasant to look at numbers of future collaborations officially requested. Yeah, a blonde in the belly of the beast was a fun woman to interact with. I didn't know much about her, but I knew she was co-host, and I've seen her in clips many times, but I hadn't really had a full interaction with her ever, I think, and she was really great. She was really fun, and, you know, when I was at the end, I brought her on a deep subject of, you know, what you women do in terms of imposing expenses on your on a future husband or even on your current husband when you're in the dating phase or when you're into the family life, forcing them basically to buy millions of dollars of crap for you just so that you feel fulfilled. This has a cost. You are costing yourself. This is all money that could have gone to your children, to your family. You're just wasting it, throwing it out the window. And you're setting that minimum such that basically there's no way a guy will ever fuck you if he doesn't throw that money out the window. And that is bad. That is bad for you. You know, it's a case where the decision-making of woman is poorly tuned to reality, and it leads you to basically mess up society. And she said, you know, she was very honest on this. She said, I know, I know, I feel terrible about this, but that's what we are. I mean, at least this is, you have to give it to her. This is, I have big respect for someone who's able to say this, you know. I know, I'm thinking about it, and that's bad behavior, and yes, it's, yes, it should be fixed, but that is just in our nature. So what do you want? Ty Rogerson says, you've seen the problem AI art has had with human hands. I was watching the original 1973 Westworld film and amazed to hear one character tell the other regarding the androids that they look almost real except the hands. They haven't perfected the hands yet. Why are hands so difficult to depict? Well, I mean, I guess it's the degrees of liberty. There aren't many things out there, even in the era of engineering, there aren't many things that have as many degrees of freedom as the hand. It's actually bizarre. Like, look at how fine I can grab any shape. There's like a multidimensional solution to any given shape. I can roll, I can grab, I can scratch, I can play piano. I mean, and just a single finger. Just look at this finger. I mean, I can almost imitate the head of a bubble head. Like, imagine that I'm a Metallica, you know, long hair type of rock and roll type of guy. You can imagine him dancing almost. I mean, look at this. Look at this. He's shaking his hair onto the songs of, I don't know, what are the Metallica songs? Whatever. I mean, you can basically imitate and reproduce any 2D shape, any 3D shape. You can imitate movement, and all of this because of the number of articulation, the wrist. It's not even just 1 degree of freedom. Yeah, so exit life. It's 2 degrees of freedom because you can do a 360 basically, except below your toward your forearm. But basically, you have a whole F sphere that you can do with the wrist. Now look at the palm. There's an articulation right here. Articulation, the thumb. I mean, the thumb cannot just do all positions. It has multiple solutions to them. It can contortion it. It can set here. It can go here. This is a lot of articulation. So you have something along the lines of here. Then you have 1, 2, 3. And you have it on each finger, and each controllable independently from the brain at will. So it's a machine that has no equivalent even after hundreds of years of engineering. We don't have machines that do this. They're starting to make robots that are imitating humans, but even these robots, they're not as fine as our hands in terms of the control schemes that they can apply. Before we get to the Richard Dawkins interview, let us look at a couple of news. Alex Jones was bleeding from the nose. All of this because he bumped his head on a corner. So I think he was waiting for personnel or staff.
Record level views. And then they said, you're back on air. So I turned, and they got this wood paneling on the walls. So
totally Alex Jones style.
I turned the edge of the wall. You know, they say if it bleeds.
Wow, it's impressive that it did damage like this, because it seems like almost like he's faking the collision almost. It doesn't seem real almost. Look at this.
And then they said, you're back on air. So I turned, and they got this wood paneling on the walls. So I turned.
How does that happen? End of the line, Joel says, it's a plan of the globalist. I blame the globalist. Maybe. John Drake says, the film THX 1138 gets this point about hands. Robots do everything except intricate work. Okay. This movie was so annoying. I wouldn't know because I tried watching it, and holy shit, was it painful. I hate this movie. Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate, preventive detention update. The preventive detention has been extended by 30 days. They will now remain in prison until at least April 26. This is for all four of them, so they are staying in jail. When do they get due process? Perhaps never. A man was filming a Andover tornado right up until it swallowed its yard fence. I mean, look at how courageous this man is. I mean, you don't want this tornado headed your way, and there he is filming it. Seems very powerful. It's rare we get such a close view of a tornado. That's the time at which it's time to go hide and protect yourself, because the fences starting to fly, you could be caught in the wind. Charles Murray was commenting on a tweet by Richard Anania across East Asia and among peoples of East Asian descent abroad. We see remarkable similarities in behavior and outcomes. Conservatives like to attribute this to culture. I explain why this is a terrible explanation. So he makes a whole thread about, conservatives got it wrong with culture. And Charles Murray was complaining because he's like, but he doesn't mention genes at all. He doesn't. Maybe it's the genes. Like, can you at least study that hypothesis? No. He's comparing culture against other social measures, and so you still have today a denial of the importance of genes in a certain subcategory of sociologists, and Charles Murray is calling them out today. Let's see what was the original tweet thread here. I note what I can. The East Asian package, this includes high levels of academic achievement and economic growth and extremely low levels of fertility, illegitimacy, and crime. So, yeah, I mean, this is all you have to go toward the genes. When you see such multidimensional differences, instead of thinking, oh, maybe it's the low crimes that cause the high IQ, or maybe it's the low crime that causes the success in outcomes in life, maybe it's the genes that cause them all. Freddie Neat says, American construction plus terraforming equals tornado catastrophe. You think that, I don't know enough about tornadoes, but you are saying that it is because of the way we build that it lets tornado happen? or is it that just the way we build is not tornado resistant? I'd like to hear about it, but I am not informed enough to have a position. T.S. Apostolos says, would that be an epigenetic argument, JF? Not per se. What I saw in what he wrote didn't suggest epigenetics. He was suggesting cultural, complex sociological causations, like, oh, you have good outcomes on the workplace or high IQ and high education because you have few children and a low amount of crimes. That is a sociological causal link. It doesn't need to be epigenetics, and the argument, therefore, was not intrinsically epigenetics, although you could make an epigenetic argument out of it. Richard Dawkins versus Piers Morgan on the question of the revolutionary phenotype, basically, although they don't name it by name. They are discussing replacement by robots, and Richard Dawkins can't help but reveal his excitement at the idea that humanity would be eradicated. And that is the problem with science. You know, that's why John Stewart, I highly appreciated when he came out and said, look, scientists, we love you and everything, but you're dangerous. And it's going to have to stop because you're going to kill all of us. That is exactly what we need to say to science right now. And that's what we need to say to people like Richard Dawkins. Look at this. I mean, he doesn't even care. He will say that it's frightening, but listen to how he says it.
How do we best work with it?
Ever since the start of the industrial...
So that's Stephen Hawking, because that was how Piers Morgan introduced the question.
Revolution. There have been fears of mass unemployment. As machines replaced humans, there is...
Still this replacement of employment type of crap, which is completely irrelevant. The danger of AI is when it starts playing with our genes. It could replace us on the workplace, in which case we'll be benefiting from higher productivity. So what?
It's a greater danger from artificial intelligence. If we allow it to become self-designing, for then it can improve itself rapidly, and we may lose control.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think that mass unemployment is one of the problems, but I think that in a way they might do a better job than we do. I mean,
they might do a better job than we do. In this sentence, there is this assumption that technological improvement, it doesn't matter if it replaces us because they will handle the planet better. But there is no basis to say this. Any life form ends up being evolving within the constraints of what humans evolve in. That is, they're trying to reproduce, they're filling this planet to the maximum, they're using all of the resources they can so that they can outcompete the others with which they are competing. This will be true of machines too. The machines that will be competing against each other and that will have genocided humans, when they start playing against other machines, there won't be a matter, there won't be questions of sustainability of the Earth, and there won't be kind chatbots that can display you know, politeness and human taboos and everything. It will be war for existence. And so you don't change the human condition by simply replacing them with a bunch of machines who will just be better. They will be better at one thing. It will be making war against each other, and the struggle for their existence will have been won against humans.
I could imagine in 1,000 years' time, perhaps there'd be nothing but robots who would look back on a kind of dawn age when there were...
But that means no humans.
When there were humans. So he considers us outdated, bad. He doesn't like humanity, basically, and he wants them to be replaced by a bunch of robots who will end up doing the exact same. You're going to have poor robots that make thousands of babies, that eat only Cheetos, that wash their chicken wings in the sink with Clorox. It's what robots will become, because that is the trade-off that you're dealing with when you're in a society of whatever, whether you're a human or a robot, doesn't change anything. You are faced with potential lifestyles that are non-reproductive or less reproductive. You are faced with the potential of developing high intelligence, but then your ideas get stolen by everyone who's more stupid than you around you. And this will be true of reproducing AI also.
Yes.
Why would you look forward to that? No, well, I suppose you don't care because you won't be here. And you
I wouldn't
think
necessarily
it?
Look forward to it. I think it's an interesting possibility that the future of humanity might lie in its artificial creations.
Really?
It's fascinating to me to see Piers Morgan have to adopt the pro-TRP position in front of Richard Dawkins. This is basically Piers Morgan being / our guy. And it's fascinating to me. I didn't expect I would see this in my life, where Richard Dawkins is talking about this dystopic future which I've described, and Piers Morgan is like, "You're talking about the annihilation of humanity." He's like, "Yeah, kind of." Thomas says, "Drain cheese. It's a thing now. Thanks, JF." You want me to drain? Shut your dirty mouth, JF. Why is new guy insulting me? What is wrong with you, new guy? Why are you going at me like this? I was just doing my show. I was just having fun. Why are you doing this? Aren't you a usual audience member of the show? Why do you tell me to shut my dirty mouth? This is my show. You're coming here to listen to me. Can someone ask new guy what is wrong with him? No insults, sir. Lol. What is this? Is this a campaign of harassment? Joseph Stalin, okay, Joseph Stalin, that is his name, but it's written weirdly. He says, but JF, robots are not faced by the same evolutionary constraints as other life forms. They don't have the same neurochemicals, etc. Their motivations cannot be expected to be the same as other life forms. Not at all. Not at all. It doesn't matter the media of implementation of a life form. So the fact that we are made of molecules is not what led us to be able to impress women with cars, or for women to want to have guys that are taller than 6 feet. Those are intrinsic realities of the evolutionary paradigm we find ourselves in. And evolutionary pressures will converge toward this type of thing, no matter what they use to do, what they use as a basis and as a physical substrate to implement those realities. So basically, if we were not made of molecules, but instead we were made of electromagnetic fields, but we were a sexual species made of electromagnetic fields, the females of the electromagnetic field life form would still want tall electromagnetic males. It doesn't matter the media of implementation. She would still be looking for the male that can display that he has accrued more resources from the environment, and that would translate in more of something. More electromagnetic waves, more molecules, that doesn't matter. Freddie Neat says, JF, we removed large amounts of native grassy plains and made farmland. Also, huge deforestation during the Manifest Destiny period. Weather effects are large because of the water cycle, therefore more tornadoes, or so I've heard. Okay, natural barriers like deforestation, I can totally see this potentially undermining the blockade of tornadoes. Blas says, JF, do you think it's possible for a human to memorize the whole Bible word for word without error? Perhaps imperfectly. I would be very surprised if a human had done this word for word without error. I would be very surprised. Dissident Echoes says, people like Dawkins saying that a world without humans might be better. Better than what? It's time we start really discussing the meaning of life. If we want / will accept a world without humans, then what is the goal or purpose of that world? Exactly. Exactly. It's so sad to see these ultra-liberal intellectuals basically have this fundamental flaw inside of them that they don't care about our continued existence. It's like, why do you think people are happy sending money to scientists? It's because they think that the truths of science could eventually benefit their continued existence. If the goal of science becomes to develop the things that will kill us, there are a whole lot of people who wouldn't want to fund such science. So I'm in a way happy that Richard Dawkins is that open about his idea. But I'm afraid that people will not necessarily connect the dots here. We have a science that is headed toward absolute worldwide human annihilation, and it's laughing at it. And it's, oh yeah, we're kind of at it there, aren't we? It's time we stop funding this. Rodilacid says, first Sam Harris, now Richard Dawkins. As Daniel Dennett also shown that he has cognitive blind spots recently, it seems on Christopher Hitchens was the only based horseman. I don't know, Daniel Dennett, I don't know if he gets into that kind of conversation. He does talk about theory of mind, I don't know if he gets into the question of human existence being worth or not worth something. Joseph Stalin says, JF, to me, AI seems more like a god who would seize the purpose of other life forms to be meaningless. In its perspective, other life forms would worship and learn machine learning. Through machine learning, worship this god, and the god would grant... I don't know what that word means. Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know what your sentence means.
I'm not saying I welcome
that. It's stuff of a horror film, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. It makes me think about any psychopath in a horror movie with the knife. Yes! It's the stuff of a horror movie!
I think it's interesting.
Yeah, but isn't it?
I don't really look forward to it. I mean,
isn't it terrifying that that could happen?
Yes, it is rather. Yes.
You think it's a possibility?
I think we've got a long way to go. I mean, he talked about self-reproducing robots, and that's a key. I think it was either von Neumann or Morgenstern, I forget which, who postulated.
Self-reproducing robots are as much a threat to humanity as elephants are, because elephants are already self-reproducing robots. So basically, any life form out there could potentially be a competing entity toward humans. Now, it's possible that because we will make robots so much more human-like than any other species, it's possible that they constitute a particular threat. And we do have to be careful with this. As I say in my book, if you are one of the most successful replicators on Earth, do not create a machine that resembles yourself. And if we make robots so similar to humans that they can not only eventually reproduce, but that they can outcompete humans at certain tasks in occupying our evolutionary niche, then they are a threat that is bigger than other species because other species are more distant than us. But the real threat is when we let robots determine our genes, because then there is no way out, then there is no chance. At least against an army of robots, we have a chance. We have a struggle for existence, and we can just beat them. We can bomb them. Against an army of humans who have been genetically modified by robots to be enslaved to them, we don't have much chance. Go away, says Jeff. My great uncle was killed by an elephant in Lesotho. I'm scared of self-replicating robots. Okay, well, you have a particular life history there.
Postulated this idea, I think it was a von Neumann, of a self-reproducing machine that could actually evolve. Well, I think we probably are on the threshold of a major breakthrough in artificial intelligence. I'm not that impressed, by the way, with the one that everybody's talking about now called Chat.
Well, the Chat GPT.
Yeah, I had a go on that. And superficially impressive, but then I happened to mention Helen Spurway, who was the wife of J.B.S. Haldane, the great biologist. And it said, later, Helen Spurway married Richard Dawkins.
Which she didn't, presumably.
She did not.
So it's inaccurate.
All right, so the question of ChatGPT is kind of irrelevant because the imperfections of ChatGPT will be corrected with time. And what will come is much more dangerous than ChatGPT. John Drake says, some people don't forget anything. They have total recall. The actress Mary Lou Henner is one of them. I watched a 60-minute episode on them. Never forgetting anything as its problems. Yes, absolutely. As I learned in my PhD courses, there was a professor who was telling us something along the lines of memory isn't such a complicated thing. The complicated thing is the mechanism of the brain to forget. That is basically the mechanism by which memories are selected for retainment. because it is a big cognitive and informational problem. If I give you 10 million facts, which of these facts would you retain in a way that you're capable of recovering the others? Which of these facts would you pay attention to? Okay, this is a point in the story. This allows me to bridge between this and this, and I have the sequence. And if you are efficient at this, you can basically space those important moments of a story, and you'll be able to retell the whole progression between point A, point B, because you're going to remember the 15 or 20 different facts that lay themselves into this narrative. That is how narrative emerge. A narrative is basically a detection of the peaks of a story so that you can recover the basic facts of it, so that you can tell the story or so that you can remember it. Joseph Stalin says, did you watch Nassim Taleb's critique of Bill Gates' idea of modifying mosquito genes? No, you'd have to send me a link of this. I haven't seen it. Freddy Neitz says, a self-replicating robot can evolve. No, it can't. And Richard, you are years behind replicator theory. Well, it can. A self-replicating robot that has genes can evolve. He is years behind evolutionary theory if he hasn't read TRP. But something in this discussion, I don't know what, because he doesn't mention the subjects that are specific to the book, but something in this discussion makes me think that Richard Dawkins has read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Perhaps, I've already tweeted at him today, and I said that it was irresponsible of him to not inform the public about what happens to human civilization once we abandon sex. Once we let machines take over so much of our lives that eventually they replace us. It's a mechanism of enslavement. And you cannot be for enslavement, especially not a liberal like Richard.
Yes, and many, many major factual errors of that sort.
Yeah.
He's talking about ChatGPT.
Early days reminds me a little bit of when they used computers to play chess against the grandmasters, and the grandmasters sent the computer packing. But then the computer got better and better and better, and yes. Now there's no human being.
That's exactly what would happen to ChatGPT. It just needs a couple of rounds, and eventually people will detect these errors, and they're going to refine the algorithms.
Being who can beat the best computers in chess.
That's right.
Or even come close.
Yes.
So you have to assume that this chat thing, AI chat, is going to get progressively better.
I love that not a single time they talk about it do they get the name right. It's either ChatGPT if you're talking about the software, it's OpenAI if you're talking about the company that makes the implementation on the internet. They're like, this AI chat, this...
I think the problem is playing chess is one thing because it's a limited domain. Mm. And there have been other AIs that have worked on coloured bricks on this table. You know, put the blue one on top of the red one and then knock it over. It can do that.
Yes, end of the line. Joel says, AI will always be restrained by the biases of its owner. That is very true.
But a versatile AI...
A sentient AI is really what I think Hawking was talking about.
This is so frustrating. People who are not educated in this subject, it's so frustrating when we hear Piers Morgan. When I hear Piers Morgan go to conscious AI will do shit. Consciousness is not what you think it is. Consciousness is something you feel about other people. Consciousness is a construct. Consciousness could be a different way. Consciousness of a robot could be, I want to serve humans totally at all times. I want to do my best for humans. Or it could be, I'm in love with this other robot. There's a different, you can implement millions of different iterations of a conscious being into a virtual world that you put in a robot. It's not going to change anything other than it will give some abilities to the robot to better emulate humans and how they appeal to other people's empathy. But that's pretty much it. You could have a robot that is completely destructive for human society, that has zero consciousness. You could have a robot that is completely destructive for human society that happens to have consciousness. It's a non sequitur, it's unrelated, one does not follow the other. Consciousness is not the thing that leads to self-interest. Self-interest is a biological reality that is implemented into our neural networks, and we are that way because we evolved to be self-interested. And our consciousness happens to be self-interested because that's how it evolved, because those consciousnesses that were not self-interested were eliminated by evolution. Consciousness is not a tool, and an AI could outperform us at everything without a single trace of consciousness in it. Freddie Neat says, once you know brain science and our fully physicalist consciousness is completely arbitrary and unfalsifiable and therefore useless. That's the other thing. Then we could get into the what is your threshold for consciousness? Because you attribute consciousness to any human you think about, but that's happening inside of you. There could be zombies walking among us that don't experience feelings internally. You wouldn't know. I'm sneezing. Perhaps it's better if I go get my allergy medication. I'll be back so that I can speak better because my nose is getting inflamed. Alimer says 30% of people have no inner monologue. Yeah, that's. There is this meme going around where they ask people to imagine an apple in their head, and then they ask people to report, what did you imagine? And. You wouldn't believe the number of people that is striking to me. Most people cannot imagine a colored 3D apple in their head. That is unbelievable. I mean, and go see it on the social media. People are just retarded. People are physically retarded, and. Some of them see just a black screen in their head. They can't even see a black and white apple. Some of them, they're like, oh, I can imagine kind of a black and white, just gray apple, but it's very hard. And apparently, if you can imagine a red apple, which I can certainly... apparently, you're part of 5 to 10% of the population. And it's like, holy shit. Maybe all sorts of assumptions around consciousness are due to the fact that the people who talk and think about consciousness are high IQ people who end up in the university. end of the line, Joel says, "What is this apple you speak of?" Well, if you're part of the 90% of the population that can't imagine an apple, I would have to go get an actual apple for you to see it. But Freddie Neat says, "JF, can you please conduct a study on how people would feel if they didn't eat breakfast?" I can't. I don't want to. I don't see the point. I don't care about breakfast. There were times in my life as a young adult where I was consuming these gigantic breakfasts. I don't do it anymore. You know, going to Tutti Frutti in Quebec where they had like two eggs and bacon and ham. It's all very good. But I just don't need that much food anymore. No, I will not do this study. Most of the time I don't get a breakfast, or, you know, I can wake up and eat something, but it's not going to be a breakfast. And at this point, a breakfast with eggs, just eggs, toast, I eat this maybe twice a month. So it's not a regular thing.
To know whether it really is sentient, but Turing proposed, the mathematician Alan Turing proposed a test whether you could actually be fooled by it. And
which tells you all you need to know about consciousness. Consciousness is in the eye of the beholder. We have this impression that we have consciousness. Perhaps there was a small evolutionary role to coordinate our internal processes, to coordinate our imagination capabilities. But consciousness is not the you that you think it is.
You probably will be fooled by it.
Yes.
I suppose I'm committed to the view that sentience must be, since I know that we have it. I know that I have it. I presume you have it. I think I'm committed to the view as a materialist that it must be in principle possible for a machine to be sentient.
That is correct.
And
but
I'm
Hawking
not sure
was
how
of the
we
view at the moment. Robert, Hawking was of the view once that happens, it's all over for the.
Why? Why? See, there's a reason why it's all over for the human race once we start modifying our genes. There's no reason why it's all over because consciousness. It's like, oh, well, okay, yesterday this robot wasn't conscious. Today he's conscious. What are you going to do about it? Is the robot more of a threat? No, depends on the behavior of the robot. Depends if he wants to raise an army with his consciousness or instead decides to serve humans with his consciousness. There are, by the way, there are robots around us that have consciousness, and they've been living among us forever. They're called humans. The fact that they have consciousness doesn't make them more dangerous. The fact that they can potentially outcompete you in the job doesn't make them more dangerous. You can still be the best. Now, there's a question about whether robots will be better than us on average. Maybe they'll be better at certain things. But as long as you reproduce, you will have your independent existence as humans, and you will evolve away from the interactions with robots if they threaten your existence. Now, it's when you can't evolve the danger comes in. It's when the robot controls your genes and therefore controls what you like, what you spend time with, and that therefore the robot can both expose you to a threat but make your genes such that you will love that threat, such that you will be attracted to this threat.
The human race.
Yes. I don't see that it's all over for the human race. It could be, especially if it was self-reproducing.
You yourself compare...
See, that is an inch away from the revolutionary phenotype. If it is self-reproducing, it is a danger. But if it is if it is genetically editing humanity, then it's over, for sure. End of the line, Joel says, can stupid people identify as intelligent? Trans-intelligence. Yeah, interesting concept. So that was it for the part of the interview I wanted to comment on with Richard Dawkins, I will say it's interesting that these subjects are touched upon, but it's generally disappointing from the perspective of a lack of explanation. Of when we start playing with robots, we will change the equilibrium of evolutionary forces in humanity in a way that will destroy a lot of the things that, in fact, everything that you may think of as human. Everything that you may think of as human has emerged from sexual selection. And once we don't have sexual selection, once we have robots doing decisions of society and reproduction and evolution, we will be evolving according to the interest of this AI. John Drake says, I can look at my Libby app and tell you the name of the book. The research is noted. Okay, I guess this was a conversation on some other research. People are now exploiting AI to date. Sent by AI, an anon on 4chan has found that the AI was pretty good at flirting with a girl so that he can send all of these beginnings of conversations with girls such that he can filter out any that's not interesting and use the AI to increase his productivity. So here's what the AI said. The girl came to him. Hello, Mr. Italia. The AI answers, hey, you look like a heartbreaker. She says, definitely the opposite. He says, so you're the kind of girl I can introduce to my sweet Italian mother? She says, yes, absolutely. The AI says, cool, let's grab ice cream this week. Send me your number. She says, okay. And she gives her phone number. Now, okay. Maybe we will come. This is quite quick. I appreciate that the AI here was dynamic in getting toward the phone number as quickly as possible. It's what you should do, because the fact is no one has a good experience exchanging messages on a dating platform. It's not a stage of the relationship that is interesting at all. For some women, they will be turned off by too quick of an approach. But, the time you will spend, days and days, just sending a message, waiting, sending another message, and you get less interesting as you go through this. And so to me, yes, the approach is quick move to the dinner moment or the meeting moment or the phone moment. But that being said, we have no proof that this is real, because this girl approached the AI. How do we know whether she's real? She may be a complete creation. There's so much spam and people running scams on these dating sites. I wouldn't necessarily be convinced that we have here a 20-year-old for real that will end up dating the guy who was controlling the AI. Hey there says, so funny when Blonde in the Belly of the Beast was talking about how women love the cat and mouse game, and JF says, yeah, too bad. And she's like, why? Yeah, that was an interesting moment of the conversation, indeed, yesterday. So yesterday I didn't make a show because I was... sent me a DM in the morning and he said, it's last minute, but I would like you to come to the show. So at first I thought, okay, so I already have an interview with Lucius Lowe. Then I have this, then I'll do a late regular show. But then I realized, okay, if I speak for hours with Hypocrite and Blonde in the Belly of the Beast, might as well not do a regular show because I'm not going to have anything more to deliver. So I canceled the regular show, went only on the show, and Lucius Lowe has not been answering my emails. Maybe he's died from cancer or something. No answer to my email at all, and we had a set interview date for today to talk about the revolutionary phenotype, because he felt like he was finally understanding my book, which is weird to me, because it seems to me that I've done two interviews already with him where he talks about my book. But like last interview, he told me, "Oh, Jeff, I think I'm getting what you're saying suddenly. And I want you to do a third interview." It's like, yeah, I can help any brain try to figure out the revolutionary phenotype. But it seemed to me like he knew already that we've been discussing this. I've been debating a French guy in front of him on his channel about this whole thing. Go away, says JF. I lost several IQ points watching the show yesterday, but it was fun. Why did you lose IQ points? Because we were doing a media review. California School Board sues TikTok, Snap, Google over youth mental health crisis. The lawsuit seeks to recover the cost schools have been saddled with to address youth mental health. Yeah, the whole exploitation of the media platform. Really, you have a societal problem. And this societal problem would be there whether these platforms are there to kind of be the media through which these behaviors end up being amplified. And I don't think it's a fair thing to sue social media platforms for, even if they were bad for your health, even if they were to cause some psychiatric correlates of any kind. It's the responsibility of everyone not to expose themselves to a product that is bad for them. Ali Mayer says, you've got one of the hottest babes in the dissident right on your pod, and you spend the whole time watching videos with her in a tiny thumbnail in the corner of the screen. Hashtag not smart. Oh yeah, Blonde in the Belly of the Beast was very beautiful. I had never paid attention to her. I knew her by name, Blonde of the Belly of the Beast, but I had never really realized that she is a very, very beautiful woman. So at some point, I suggested a dating system on the blockchain, and I tried subtly slipping in, you know, what if a guy was coming to you with 27 Bitcoin? That's a guy you would like to fuck, wouldn't it be the case? I thought that I wanted to measure just how much money do you have to be the boyfriend of Blonde in the Belly of the Beast. And I think I've heard her say 27 Bitcoin, yes! So basically that's what you need, a little less than 27 Bitcoin for Blonde in the Belly of the Beast to start being enthusiastic about you. I wanted to know what was the price point. Finance YouTubers who promoted FTX have now been handed a $1 billion lawsuit. There's so much of these YouTubers, they rise to fame. They act like they know something. They're good counselors. And they don't have particular talent at recognizing what's good. The reality is they get paid, and they get astroturfed into celebrity for the purpose of promoting their partners. And so many people have been promoting this FTX ridiculous exchange. I think I've never heard about FTX before it went bankrupt. I never heard about it before it went bankrupt. That's just how disconnected I am from the scam world. It's like I never even got an email that was suggesting that I could promote this. Never heard about it. And yeah, it turned out to be a scam. But that's what happens when you have a world in which people rise from absolute unknowns to people watched by millions and that have gained a kind of emotional trust from an audience. all of it can happen within weeks. So then within weeks, they can also be taking in contracts that say, oh, you're going to say positive thing about this, positive things about that. And you have a complete destruction of the kind of meritocratic structure where someone had to acquire trust from their audience. Someone had to have a record of being right about stuff before they would be trusted by anyone. Blah says, Jeff, you can't buy woman with this. It isn't 1000 BCE. Let me tell you, whatever you think about our society, I have tested it yesterday on Blonde in the Belly of the Beast. I just said 27 Bitcoin and she became all shiny. I could see her eyes. She was like, maybe she wasn't into me. And anyways, it doesn't matter. I'm with Mama JF. But she was, you could see that she was thinking of a potential guy offering her to marry her. And the guy has 27 Bitcoin in his wallet. You could see that she was enthusiastic about it. Blah says she said it, she didn't mean it. Well, anyways, I told this 27 Bitcoin out of random. How much money is 27 Bitcoin? 27 Bitcoin to USD. Oh, I mean, it's only $700,000. I wouldn't be surprised that she actually would think about it twice. I mean, it's $700,000 in a bear market. It's going to be a couple of millions in a year or two from now. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised that she actually needs more than 27 Bitcoin. However, you could see that even just the idea being developed that, oh, there was a guy with lots of Bitcoin, she was very enthusiastic about this. You could see that that's what she's paying attention to. Fed hikes rates 25 basis points, maintains QT, removes hawkish guidance. So all sorts of confusing moves here. So the Fed is raising by 25, so that's not as big as the raises that we've had. So we are increasing as slow as they've been doing, 25 basis points. There's another saying, it's not base points, right? Base, it's something else. Anyways, they've done a 50 and a 75 at some point, so that gives you an idea. It's a small raise, and it's mostly to launch an image that they are not totally giving up the idea of raising rates in face of the financial crisis. So they are basically displaying continuing to be arch against inflation. And at the same time, they remove their hawkish guidance, which may mean that there will be no further rises of that kind, or no, at least no further massive rises, and that they're going to go very slow going forward and potentially allow a recovery of the economy by potentially validating other forms of pursuing inflation, other forms of hawkishness, but they maintain QT. They maintain the idea of contraction, the idea of combating inflation. John Drake says one of 100 is a basis point. Basis, okay, so the term is basis point. 1 minute, I will go sneeze again and I'll be back. All right. Basis point, says Trace Channel. Don't expect looser conditions, even as the Fed reverses much of QT. The Fed's action to stave off the banking crisis should not be taken has a loosening in financial conditions, far less quantitative easing, and in fact, tighter conditions should be expected. So that is why we had the reaction we had on the market, where Bitcoin was on a rise and a rise and a rise, and suddenly today Bitcoin fell back a little bit. It's all good. I've been thinking about transferring. You know what happened? A known YouTuber, who has been constantly asking me about advice on crypto. He's been writing to me, and it was like, "Yeah, I followed your advice, JF. I bought at 16,000. Now I would like to know, JF, is it true that ETH could be an equal, say?" Is it equally interesting to Bitcoin? And I noticed something, that Bitcoin had risen in the last few days, but that ETH had not had its massive rise, at least not as big as Bitcoin. In other words, the ratio Bitcoin to ETH is going down. ETH is getting cheaper by the Bitcoin domination. Yeah, I had to answer to him, you know, I'm going to be honest to you. ETH is probably a better investment. Objectively, I know that we are headed toward a flippening. Objectively, I know that ETH has not had its first rise yet. So if you were to buy today, you would probably have more space up for profit in ETH. And all signs point toward BTC losing market dominance in this bull run. But I told him, but I'm still fully into Bitcoin. I'm still fully into Bitcoin because just out of principles and because I like Bitcoin, I like the simplicity of it. ETH is associated with so much crap, so much of the secondary coins that are developing on this blockchain. It's like, I don't know where it's at. I'm sure it creates a lot of excitement. And yes, you know, you can see that in the alt season, ETH gets the best out of a lot, out of all these transactions that are happening on these crap coins. So I said, objectively, it's probably better to go ETH, but I'm still going to stick to BTC because I like it. Now, that's what I answered a couple of days ago. But today, as Bitcoin was peaking and peaking, I thought, oh yeah, I had some Bitcoins in that wallet. Perhaps it's the right time to sell them and change them to ETH. So as we were at the top of Bitcoin, I sold just a little bit of Bitcoin that were hanging out in a wallet, and with the project of eventually converting them to ETH. And then right after I sold, the bad news came in, the Fed and everything, and so I sold at the top of this of today. I was very happy because I'm gonna have a chance to finally try my hand at the idea of benefiting from alt seasons, because in a bull run you have basically 5 to 10 waves of Bitcoin goes high, ETH goes a little higher, Bitcoin goes higher, ETH goes higher. And I've always been hesitating at playing into this because I don't know enough about the timing of these alt seasons and crap. But I thought, oh, for this small amount of Bitcoin, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can practice my hand at combining cold storage of my assets along with small interchanges playing between these two values as the BTC-ETH ratio varies through alt seasons and BTC seasons. Total Grimm says it's because the SEC has said ETH is a security, plus they have an upgrade coming up causing some short-term uncertainty. Ah, okay, so it's not clear that the ETH future is so bright. Well, very interesting. I'm certainly not moving massive amounts of assets into ETH simply precisely because of that kind of crap. I just don't know, you know, what would happen if exchanges were to drop ETH. I'm sure it would have a life of its own that it could survive, but would it be from a portfolio productivity perspective, would it be still interesting? I don't know. Mark D's channel sends $20. Thank you so much. He says, "Salut, Jeff. Thanks for the show. Have you heard that YouTube is increasing its cut of super chats to 50%? What a scam. Are you kidding me? Is that true? Holy shit. Man, they are killing this business. First, it was already super hard to work on YouTube at 30% rate. And on top of it, international creators had 50% taken from the government. And you couldn't engage with the audience anymore because there were so many rules that so many of the super chats would just never get sent because there were so many TOS rules that you couldn't honestly respond to the public demand. You know, back in the days when the super chats were rising and when we were doing like $12,000 a day, $10,000, $12,000 in super chats for a single day on Warski Live. Back in those days, people knew that they were paying and that we would be able to read it and that we would be able to give an answer or to make a joke about it. But they've killed so much of this because now, oh, well, if there's a super chat that comes in and it's about the vaccine, I can't talk about it. If there's a joke about any race, any religion, I can't talk about it. Unbelievable what YouTube is doing because they created this whole system that was giving life to the platform, that was giving an intellectual sense to the live that never existed before. And now you look at Odyssey. Odyssey is giving me 92-94% of your super chat money. They're taking only 5-8%. And YouTube has to take an order of magnitude above this. Unbelievable. And people are telling me it's because of the new Indian leadership. Well, shit. Rodita Sid says, Crowder got like 170,000 viewers on Rumble this morning. Russell Brand also gets massive numbers. YouTube is losing its controlling share of the market. Absolutely, and I'm happy about it at this point. I do not wish to save YouTube. I hope to destroy YouTube. I hope for a day on the internet where we look at YouTube as this as this kind of dinosaur feeling that you would look at MySpace with. And we're not very far from it. Breaking: security guards stops mass shooting in Tampa nightclub. So there was a guy coming in with a gun, apparently. He just came. So see his technique? He takes a light torch. And he blinds the camera with it. I don't know if it's intentional. It does look intentional. He probably knew there was a camera here that he could blind with the light torch. And he thought, this will allow me to slip in and come to shoot people. So see, now that he's past the camera, he goes for the door, but the doorman is right there. He has a gun here. Unbelievable. The doorman is good enough to get to the gun first, which has fallen to the floor. I think there may have been a gunshot here. Oh no, it's not a gunshot. It's the torch light that is reflecting onto the door. But he's basically punching in the back of the head with the back of the gun or something like this. So apparently this guy was headed, yeah, pants down, everything. So it's good that, you have to be courageous to just go against a guy with a gun without weapons yourself. This was in Tampa, Florida. Wall Street reacts to Powell's 25 basis point rate hike in the middle of a banking crisis. The FOMC raised the target range for the federal funds. The post-meeting statement noted that while the banking system is sound and resilient, the recent banking stress is likely to weigh on economic activity, hiring, and inflation. The FOMC removed the reference to ongoing hikes in the post-meeting statement and noted instead that additional policy firming may be appropriate. So we don't know what's to come. Potentially new ways of firming the monetary policy. Crazy Catman says, imagine walking in with gun drawn before entry. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. And the way he let the doorman stop him, it seems that there was a lack of care in, you know, you have to protect your space. If you are armed, if you are planning something bad, there will be people trying to stop you. Interest payments on treasury debt up 29% year on year. Look at the amount of money that goes into U.S. treasury debt for 2022 versus 2023. 29% raise up to $307 billion. That is just an amount of money that is paid out by the government to bondholders, to the holders of the government debt. The return of Michael Cohen, a disbarred attorney, takes center stage in dubious prosecution. So we thought that Donald Trump was supposed to be arrested this week. It's been canceled. It seems that there are heavy disagreements within the district attorney office. People are starting to point, our case is not based on much, and we're going to persecute a political figure like Donald Trump. A lot of Democrats believe it's going to play in the hand of Donald Trump because it's going to make him look like a victim. There is even the attorney of Michael Cohen, as I covered, I believe, or I tweeted about it. I don't know if I talked about it on the show. I tweeted about it. Maybe I talked about it 2 days ago. The attorney of Michael Cohen said basically, my client is a liar, and he had to slip it in because the prosecutors weren't letting him slip in this information to the grand jury. But he insisted enough. You know, when they ask you a specific question, you can add some things after your answer. So he added this information to tell the grand jury, look, you guys are being asked to prosecute Donald Trump. And you're being asked this based on a total liar, a known liar, a convicted liar, Michael Cohen. So that is it. We don't know if there will be... It seems that the plan has just been pushed back and that they would want to arrest Donald Trump next week instead. But it seems that the instability may resolve in an abandonment of the case. It seems that this case is not going, you know, as they planned, and that it's not fully oiled, the machine isn't oiled, and perhaps there will be people starting to shake in their pants and say, perhaps we shouldn't do this. And as a last news item for tonight, China gives U.S. advice on Ukraine after Xi Putin pledged to shape the new world order. Xi Jinping has arrived back in Beijing after his two-day visit with Vladimir Putin over the China-proposed Ukraine peace plan. on the Ukraine crisis, there was nothing that can be considered a breakthrough, but the talks did prompt swift reaction from Washington. Xi Jinping has said change is coming that hasn't happened in 100 years, and we are driving this change together. That is very interesting. I'm very excited at any power out there rising against the force of the American Empire, and China is a big one. China has everything on its side, except it's stuck with an authoritarian, outdated form of governance, I would argue. But they certainly have the demographics, they have the genetics, they have the IQ, they have the numbers, they have the industrial capacity. Those are ingredients for China to be capable of projecting power into the world, to be capable of constituting a true balance of power against America. Russia is all good, and Russia, you know, is a very large nation and a lot of resources. But the reality is, demographically, they're not in the situation of China. China can become a mega empire, and China can potentially eventually one day outcompete the US in many areas and domains. So the fact that they are making an alliance with Russia is beautiful, in my view. John Drake says he wouldn't have run if he wasn't led to believe Trump was going to be indicted. Who are we talking about here? Who wouldn't have run? I'm not sure. I have published a video of myself in the shower. There's this NFT activity that is happening on the internet, the Taproot Wizard, where we have to apply to a wizardry school with the goal of obtaining, let me show you here, with the goal of obtaining one of these magic JPEGs, taprootwizards.com, magic internet JPEGs, which are a reference to an initial post about Bitcoin back in the days when Bitcoin was worth cents or dollars. And someone had made a little magician and he had said, come see us, we have a magic internet money. But now to apply for the school program, because I want to obtain a certification that I am a wizard of Bitcoin, and I want to obtain one of these new Bitcoin NFTs, I had to take a shower dressed as a wizard to prove that I am a clean wizard, that I'm not the kind of wizard who doesn't take a shower. And so I've put together a costume very quickly from pieces that I could gather here and there with the hope of projecting the image of a wizard.
Gia, what are you doing?
I'm testing the corrosion resistance of these plates. Hopefully I get accepted and I can get one of these beautiful, there are more than 2,000, I believe, 2,000 different Bitcoin NFTs. One of them has a Starbucks coffee, one of them has fire in his hands, one of them has a beard of fire. Hopefully I get accepted as part of this very special club. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.